So what's it take to succeed in the fashion design industry? Discover the beauty of fashion and the importance of time management in a creative business, and how to fulfill your dreams and passion in such a cutthroat industry. Meet Colleen Quinn. Her knowledge of the fashion industry is super vast, and she knows what it takes to succeed. Colleen Quinn is an internationally recognized and award-winning French couturier who has, for more than 25 years, owned and operated a successful couture atelier. She was born and lives in San Francisco, California, and she's a fourth-generation Chinese-American. She integrates her cultural experiences and life dedication to couture and art. And as a San Francisco native, her life mission is to internally and externally push boundaries and influence fashion internationally. I'm Stephen Chan with the Imagine Talks podcast, and here's our episode with Colleen Quinn. Hi, everyone. My name is Stephen Chan. I am the co-host of the Imagine Talks podcast, Achieving Success, Overcoming Obstacles, and Social Impact. And I'm so excited today. We have Colleen, who is a French couturier, and Colleen Quinn Couture is her company, right? And you've also taught at the Fashion Institute of Design and Merchandising and the California College of the Arts. Colleen, welcome.
Thank you, Stephen. It's such a pleasure to be here.
You know, you have spoken at Imagine Talks. You've also been in design for over 30 years. And when did you first realize you wanted to pursue a career as a designer?
Well, after I was debugging software programs, I thought I was going to be a computer science programmer. Yeah. I was actually also designing ice skating costumes in the sideline. Wow. And I was going, oh, because I was an ice skater, right? So I wanted to create my own costumes, but I was more into that. Like, I was very excited about that. So, you know, design has always been a part of me ever since I was young. But it just became, like, real when I had to, like, really decide on what I wanted to do in life. Wow. And then the truth came out, and I said, well, wait a second, I want to learn design.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That must have taken courage. I imagine that would have taken courage.
Yes.
Because you're transitioning from something to something else.
It is. And usually fashion design is a little bit more fickle. It's hard to really make it out there.
Yeah.
And as in software engineering, it's much more the trend that was going on in the 80s, you know, mid-80s. But I wanted to go for my truth and my passion. I didn't want to just go for what's happening, really. I wanted to go with what's coming from my heart and what I think I can contribute to the world.
Yeah.
So definitely, I became very mature at a very young age in my 20s that I decided I need to change.
And what kind of skills did you end up having to use to craft your career? Not so much the fashion design, but, you know, forging your path and mm-hmm. having this successful, you know, business.
Yeah. You know, because I have to say, though, because I was a ice skater and I had a private coach and I was with her for 10 years, it brought me discipline, dedication, loyalty, and also just making it work, you know?
Wow.
I mean, it's a lot of dedication, and if you really love something, you make it work. So all that, the 10 years of that actually gave me this stability and this kind of like, yes, I can do whatever I want to do and make it happen. And so when I decided to go back to design, and then I worked for a few companies for about 9 years, and then I decided to have my own business, it was not any doubt.
Wow. But you also mentioned, too, that it's competitive.
So I love the competitiveness.
The competitiveness.
Yes. Yes.
What does success look like mm-hmm. for someone who's not familiar with the fashion industry?
Mm. And everyone wants to be a designer.
Everyone.
Oh, I'm a designer. Yeah. I'm a designer. I'm a celebrity designer. I'm a you know, whatever. Yes, you can be a designer. Or I have lots of money. I want to be a designer. You can be that. And I'm not saying that, but the competitiveness is that everyone is a designer. Everyone's studying design. Everyone's coming out of design, because I'm a teacher too. So everyone wants to be a fashion designer.
Wow.
Everyone wants to do something in design. And why not? It's so creative, right? So with that freedom, but yet it's this business that you can make money, is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And it's very enticing. So that's why it's competitive.
Got it. And thinking about the design process, I mean, you've got so many gorgeous pieces on your website. is there a way that you've optimized your workflow or you know, sort of maximize your creative process?
Yeah. And so, you know, I've been in my own business for over 20 years and I'm very efficient. Do you know why? Because it's only me and that does the design and the pattern making. And then I have two seamstresses. Now, every time when I have students wanting to intern with me, they go, well, where's your big company? And I go, well, hi, I'm here. It's just, you know, so I think I'm really sustainable in my own way because, you know what, I came from the roots of making your own money and not, it was very challenging, the finances, but I made it happen and I was very sustainable in some ways and also efficient and also hard worker. So it just all came as one.
And you, when you're doing that, does that mean that you're doing quite a bit of the business? I mean,
So I'm doing the business and I'm also the payroll. Right. And I also give them vacation. And then I'm also the marketing person.
Yeah.
I brand mine. I make sure that I select who I want to work with. And I know it's everything. Wow. And then I'm also the designer. And then I choose the fabrics. And then I create this design for them. You know, I design for celebrities too, right? Yeah. So, like, you have to be right on dot.
Yeah.
You can't make a mistake. I mean, you can make a mistake, but you really can't because you've got one client every time. So I developed this really amazing structure where I would actually set up my day, every hour, what I was going to do and to accomplish it. So I made sure I made a list of what I need to accomplish every day, Monday through Saturday.
Wow.
And if I have like 90 designs to do in 1 year, how do I break it up?
Interesting.
And how, when the fabric comes 3 months later, like everything, I wear different hats.
Yeah.
But I love that. My brain is like set up that way. Maybe because of software programming, I'm not sure. But I love the whole process of it. Like making sure it smoothly flows too.
That's interesting.
And I don't get anxieties. Like I'll put in a little, you know, pampering time, but I break up every hour. And that's what I teach my students too, from 8 to 6. Break it up. You want to do this, and make sure you can do it.
So time blocking is what you do.
Yeah, it's really time strategy. Yeah,
that's
time management.
And I think that you mentioned computer science as a way
where you're logical.
There's some operations. And order
analytical.
Of operations.
Yes, like in order to write a software program, I have to make sure I know every word that I want to put to make that operation happen.
Interesting.
So if I don't know all the steps, that program's not going to be good. So I'm very, like, it's almost like a flow chart in my mind. And then every step is leading to the goal.
Is that very common, that kind of thinking and for folks in your industry, persons, other professionals?
You know, probably so, because you have to be super organized for fashion design. I've noticed that, I've just noticed in the fashion world, because it's a business.
Yeah.
This is not like an art world where I'm just going to be doing whatever I want to do. It's like, oh no, we need to make this a business. So this needs to, you know, we need to have this client or this is a great strategy. You know, it's all about marketing. It's all about everything in design, which I love. I love the whole process of design.
Yeah. And you know, one of the cool things is that you are singularly doing it, right?
Yes.
You've got yourself and then I know Tomb Seamstresses,
but I do everything.
You know everything, every part of it.
Yeah.
You can. It doesn't require you to communicate with 10 or 20
other
people.
No, it doesn't. There's no middleman. And if I need to change something and you know, change it up a little, then I change it up. What's wrong with that? Like, you know, but that's how I learned in my process. So I have one gown. It's called Madame Butterfly. And that is in the California Museum right now. I'm one of the 200 honorable women in California. I'm with like Shirley Temple and I don't know how I got there anyway. But anyway, like, and Shirley Temple was like
your skills.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyways, my Madame Butterfly is in there because that's the one that kept my business going. It was selling for like 20 years, like this Madame Butterfly gown, which someday you'll see, but it's still around. So all my gowns are also sustainable in a way that they will still sell after 20 years.
Yeah.
My design work is kind of timeless. But I do all the engineering. I do all the pattern work too. So in French couture, it's all about calculations. I'm like a geometric sculptor, but everything's like sacred geometry.
Yeah.
So I do everything in that way. It's very analytical as well as creative.
Interesting. One of your quotes that you've shared with us at Imagine Talks was, "Appreciate the process and be grateful.
going through the process of living life. And tell us how that plays into your success, your productivity.
You know, I feel that once you know each process, you can almost be in the present moment or really enjoying it. Like, for example, when you make something homemade, a food, it's coming from your heart, so you love every step. I'm going to mix the egg now. I'm going to mix this, and I'm making this for grandmother. Or, you know, the love comes in, right? And when you taste the meal at the end, it is like full of love and energy. It's the qi energy, right?
Yeah.
I do qigong. So it's the qi energy I'm giving. So when I create, it's the same way. I love this process. I love doing the back. I just measured her. I'm going to do her body lines now. Like everything's calculations. And then I put the love in each thing. Oh, I'm going to choose her fabric. I'm going to choose the color that would enhance her. And then I know the shape that I want for her. And then when she walks down the red carpet, it's going to be just so beautiful. She's going to be a flower. But I'm just saying that I put in all my love. And when she wears it, she feels beautiful. And that, if you can do that, I think it's like such a reward, because or else you become a robot and you're just like making one thing at a time. And then, like, do you know when you eat mass production? What happens when you eat mass production?
It all looks the same.
And right? Then it tastes the same, but you're just going, but I'm so hungry.
Yeah.
And then when you go to a fine restaurant or you have mom make food,
yeah,
you go, Mom, oh my God, I love your home food. It's, you can never trade it for the world. So
yeah.
I kind of use that as the same analogy. Yeah. It's my chi energy being put in, and it's my true love that I'm putting in to each of my clients' work.
It's interesting how you've gotten this blend of you're taking your knowledge of how technology works, so you know, computer science, but then also fusing that with business and yes. fashion.
Yes,
and that's just
and
incredible.
Also the Chinese culture
and culture.
Qigong.
Yes,
and I mix a little bit of that too.
Do you think that with well, especially with technology and social
yes.
media, like how does that play into what you do?
I know. So, you know, I went to computer science, right, for like 5 years.
Five years.
I was writing programs, and then I was getting into like artificial intelligence and, you know, blah, 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 whatever. I was really good at math. And then I go, oh, it's like, I don't want to know if I want to be in the computer all day, right? So I completely stopped it. Like when everyone was doing computers, I was anti. And
yeah.
I go, let me just draft this out. I'm going to do this with my hands and my brain.
Yeah.
And I didn't need any calculator. I would calculate through my head all calculations because I wanted to use my brain.
Yeah.
Okay, I still do this, but now I'm doing digital art. I love
digital art.
I do digital art because Apple invited me to do a presentation. And then they said, you need to learn the Procreate. And
oh.
I learned it in a month, and uh-huh. I created like 100 like digitals, and then I did a presentation for them, and then I was teaching the next
Procreate.
Day, like in a month, yeah, for Apple.
Wow.
And so then now I do digital art. I've been doing it for 3 years now.
Yeah.
So I love digital art, but it's still, I love the hands-on. You know, when I learn Chinese watercolor painting, it's like, it's the feel, it's the
yeah.
movement. It's like I'm in dance. So I want to dance. I don't want to feel like I'm a robot.
Right.
So I know the difference, but I know that digital is the way to go. And then it's kind of a challenge because everyone else is doing it.
Yeah.
But I still feel that our uniqueness is our own style. And if we go back and talk about style, it's about your own truth and what
oh.
you can bring that is unique yourself, not someone else's character.
Right.
It's finding your own soul and putting it into the work. Like my stroke, people will know my stroke.
Yeah.
Or my shape of my silhouette, people know that because I studied it and this is what I want. This is coming from my heart. It's not like, oh, that's a trend. I never do that. I never follow trends.
I am so fascinated. You've talked about energy and your uniqueness there. But then you also said, oh, there's digital art component too.
Yeah.
Oh, if I may ask, what is your setup like? Half the time do you use traditional tools?
I don't even
or
have,
do you...
Oh yeah, traditional tools. I have my scissors, my pencil, my rulers. I have no computer.
No
I have
computer.
No TV.
Okay.
I don't watch TV and I don't do any computer. I don't have a computer. I just have my iPad and then I'm drawing digital.
Oh,
and then,
with an Apple pencil?
With Apple pen, yeah. Yeah,
oh,
and I design something every day.
Would you say what percentage of your work is on just using the iPad? Then, would you say
an hour or two?
But
I can create like a lot of designs from there because
oh.
for me it's very easy. But when it comes to painting, that is when I'm in my truth.
Yeah.
And I'm somehow connected, like to the heavens and And I feel really connected to the planet and the earth. I'm not connected to the computer. There's no interference between this. The communication is very clear.
Yeah.
And so I just move as a vessel, actually. Wow. And I channel it that way. So, and a lot of my work right now is about heaven and earth. Yes. And how I bring heaven to earth here. So my work is very heavenly. It has to do with birds' wings, angel wings, butterfly wings, anything that flies up to the heaven. But also I'm bringing heaven, the beauty of heaven here. And it's all about Taoism, right? So because I'm a Qigong practitioner. So I do believe in Taoism and the way of living life too.
That is a wonderful glimpse into how you create your process. Mm-hmm. I've learned so much about the time, you know, your scheduling and how you have your flow. It's just incredible. Yeah.
Yeah, because I live in the present moment. My mind is not anywhere else. Now, when you live in the present moment, that means you have to confront what's happening and just be in truth. I'm in truth with you right now.
Yeah.
And you can feel the connection.
I feel it, and I definitely feel the energy and the enthusiasm.
Yes, because I want to be with you.
Yeah, and I think that for many of us folks who are in a standard, like a lot of, you've alluded to this, standard 9 to 5 or 8 to 5 or mm-hmm. 7 to 5.
Yeah, that's right. Or, is that
I don't know, 24 hours. Yeah, I know, exactly. You know, it tends to be robotic or, you know, fairly rote.
Yeah.
And so harnessing harnessing what you love and being able to make the most of it is really quite bliss.
I know. I think it's from my Qigong too, because I don't know if you know, I did have breast cancer 10 years ago, and it was from all that stress I had. But from there, I took the Qigong to preserve my life and changed it. Oh. I switched and changed. And I never, ever want to not appreciate life ever again. You know, that also woke me up too.
That moment, that was a pivotal moment in your life then.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, to take care of myself and also my emotions and my mental state and to have control over it. Don't let anything else control you. You have control over your own self. You know what I'm saying? Take the driver's wheel and drive it yourself.
So then, if I may ask, I know, is it okay if I ask, what was life before and after? Because it sounds like that was a pivotal moment.
Oh, yeah. So, and I had breast cancer when I was 45.
Yeah.
And that was like the time when I did have my business, and I was doing, you know, like Tai Chi and Qigong, but I wasn't practicing it very fully in the Taoist way. So I was working so much. And plus, I had my own business and everything. It was just really, I mean, I was the pinnacle time. Everyone knew me. I was like working with celebrities. I was an America Next Top Model. You know, like I was on film a lot and always interviewed. I never had a private life.
Yeah.
Everything was exposed pretty much, you know, interviews and stuff like that constantly. So my life was so interesting. It was very exciting, but I think I burnt myself out and I didn't know when to stop. So when I had the cancer, I took a break from actually my business.
Oh.
And I took a break for like 5 years and I rested.
Was that something?
With Qigong.
And that was kind of a force.
And I did Tai Chi.
That was a kind of a force.
So it was a force, right? And I was a couturier. And then all of a sudden I go, wait a second, I'm not anything now. But wait, I'm doing Chinese watercolor painting. So I'm going to be a painter now. And then everyone's going, what? What are you doing painting? I go, no, I want to do painting. And then, and again, you know, I had the confidence because it's like, well, I can do it.
Yeah.
What? Don't stop me.
Yeah.
And then I started, I painted 300 paintings in 1 year because I was going insane because I didn't design.
Wow.
Because I had my own business, but I stopped it.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to be more peaceful. Yeah. So I wanted to rest for 5 years because it's good after you have cancer, whether it's small or big, is to rest your body and to find yourself and to heal. And then I went through Qigong and Tai Chi, and I did sword. And, you know, I have a really great master, Li Ping Ju, and then my grandmaster, too. So I'm a disciple. And so I dedicate my life to helping others and heal others, but also to preserve and, you know, preserve my own life as well. Yeah. If I can preserve my own life, I can help others, but I need to do it for myself first.
That's incredible. What a change. That's such a transformation.
I feel like I've lived 100 different lives already. I don't know what. I don't know. It's kind of. And then I look at myself and go, did I do that? Who's that? Who's
calling, that's remarkable though. I mean, how often can someone say that? And
I know, you know, like if I ever had to really, like it was my time to go, I'm really grateful. Actually, I don't really actually mind leaving this planet because I am so grateful what I've been given.
Yeah.
And then I'm, you know, I'm just super grateful. That's all.
That's just incredible what you've accomplished, what you've done. And also transformed, and how you've transformed and accepted a lot of things in life and really embraced life.
Yes.
Too.
Thank you.
You know, for folks who are interested in learning about you, and you know, how can they find you
on the internet? Sure. Or? Yes. I have my website, which is Quen Life, Q-U-E-N.
Q-U-E-N
Life. L-I-F-E. Because it is, my work is all about, I don't know, I might be doing so many things that I don't want to just focus only on design. You know, it could be everything. Yeah. So it's a life force, right? So anyways, it's called Quen Life. You can always reach me on my email there. Yeah, and then once you reach me, I can communicate with you. You know, I'm a teacher. I am here to be of service, actually. I'm here to help others. I'm like a mentor. You know, I always have my fashion students and they call me Fashion Mom. And I'm so honored. I know, I love them. And so, you know, if you are ready, I'm here. You know how it's like when the student's ready, the teacher's ready?
Yeah.
So I'm here all the time because that's my service. I only want to help.
That's lovely. Colleen, thank you so much for your time and You're welcome. Energy.
Okay.
And really, really just inspired by what you've done. So
thanks,
thank you.
Steven.
All right. Thanks again.
Thank you too.
Thanks so much for joining us for this episode. To learn more about Imagine Talks, go to www.imaginetalks.org. Edge Interns and Mental Power Hacks supports this podcast. Edge Interns sources the best interns to the best companies. Learn more at EDGE, that's edgeinterns.com. Mental Power Hacks is where you will get life hacks to boost your mental performance, productivity, and success. Connect with us at mentalpowerhacks.com. Subscribe to us and get the latest episodes of the Imagine Talks podcast, Achieving Success, Social Impact, and Overcoming Obstacles. See you next episode.